I whisked a glance back and spotted a pair of men in dark clothes a block away. They appeared normal enough, but that didn't mean anything.
How far is your apartment?
Aaron asked tersely. Turn right. At the next corner, it's the third building.
Good. Okay.
He pulled me along with him, head tilted to keep our pursuers in view.
When we get close, run to your door and get inside. I'll wait until you're in, then draw them away.
What? I yelped. No way. Come inside with me.
Too risky.
His eyes kept moving, scanning every shadow before returning to our stalkers.
They're after me, not you. I'm not leading them to your apartment.
I won't leave you to—
They're mythics, Tori. You can't help.
His arm heated under my hand.
I can take care of myself.
He said that now, but at the pub when he'd talked about his odds against powerful mythics, he'd included Kai and Ezra as his teammates. His mage friends weren't here to back him up. Could he take on two mythics alone? This isn't a good plan, I whispered as we rounded the corner and Justin's building came into view. Let's figure out something else.
It'll be fine, he said. Tori, I fight with fire. I need you safe first, so I can defend myself without hurting you.
But you don't have Sharpie, I protested desperately. Shaking off my arm, he stopped at the broad sidewalk that crossed a manicured lawn to the front of the towering high-rise. His head turned as he watched our stalkers.
Run inside. Go.
My hands clenched. With a furious hiss, I turned and bolted across the lawn. I shoved through the main doors into the vestibule, but didn't unlock the security door. Spinning around, I squinted through the glass. Aaron turned on his heel and strode into the street, heading for the alleyway on the other side, getting out of sight so he could use his magic. His two pursuers broke into a jog, chasing after him. Then, farther up the street, two more men in black clothes ran toward the alley. Four? There were four? Gasping through my panic, I pulled my phone out. But could I call the police? Aaron and the mystery men were mythics. I was almost positive the police would make this worse. If Justin had been home, I would have called him and taken my chances, but he had a shift tonight. Swiping my thumb across the screen, I pulled up Clara's number and called it. It went straight to voicemail. She was probably sleeping. Cursing, I ran outside. Aaron couldn't take on four mythics at once, could he? I might be a useless, magicless human, but I wasn't abandoning him to an unfair fight. Slowing as I reached the head of the alleyway, I crept into the darkness between hulking skyscrapers. Aaron hadn't gone far. He stood in the middle of the alley, illuminated by the flames dancing across his upraised palm. Shadowy figures had formed a loose circle around him, and as I slunk behind a dumpster and peeked out, I counted them. Then counted again. Not two. Not four. Six.
Come quietly, and we won't hurt you,
a black-clad man said in a raspy voice.
Our orders are to bring you in alive, but they said nothing about unharmed.
The flames on Aaron's palm flared, gleaming across the switchblade in his other hand.
How about you get lost, and then I won't have to hurt you?
The man smiled. From beneath his coat, he pulled a long dagger with a glowing inscription on the steel. Crouched behind the dumpster, I clutched my purse like a shield. Oh, God. This couldn't be happening. Aaron flicked his hand, hurling fire into the face of the man on his left, then launched toward the guy with the dagger. The man swung his weapon in a sideways arc, and a sparkling white wave swirled around it. Aaron slashed with his switchblade, a trail of flames whipping out and the two forces collided. Orange sparks and white glitter exploded into hissing steam that engulfed the two men. Ice, I realized. The sparkling white power was ice. Fire rippled out from the steam cloud, and as Aaron reappeared, two men attacked him from behind. He spun, fire spiraling out of his switchblade, and the other men launched flashes of light from small objects I couldn't make out in the darkness. Aaron dodged them, pivoted again, and cast a crackling fireball at Ice Guy, who countered with a burst of white that exploded into snowflakes. Aaron jumped back, fire racing up his arms and over his shoulders. He thrust his switchblade in a strange pattern, and the steel glowed red. A wall of flame erupted from the weapon and surged toward Ice Guy. Another enemy jumped to Ice Guy's side, something small in his hand.
"Ori repercutio,"
he declared. The air rippled like a shockwave, and when Aaron's fiery attack hit it, the blaze snapped in the opposite direction. The red-hot flames sloughed off Aaron's body. His clothes singed, but his skin unharmed. Teeth bared, he raised his switchblade again. Behind him, light flashed painfully bright. I flinched, blinded. A shout, a crunching sound, a clatter of something metal skittering across asphalt, then another flare of light. Eyes watering, I peered through the mist. The six men had converged in the center of the alley, and I couldn't see Aaron's red hair among them. Then, as a man crouched, I spotted Aaron, on the ground. Ice Guy kneeling on his back, one hand gripping his dagger, and the other pressed to Aaron's shirt, frost spreading from his fingers. Snow fluttered around them, the air sparkling with ice crystals, and Aaron's harsh breaths puffed white. Another man stepped on the back of Aaron's neck, pinning him in place, and pulled a small vial from his pocket, its contents sickly yellow. He unscrewed the top. I dropped my purse, grabbed my umbrella, and charged out from behind the dumpster. No one saw me coming until I was winding my umbrella up like a baseball bat. I swung it full force into the guy's face, knocking him and his creepy vial off Aaron. Skidding on the ice-coated ground, I whammed my umbrella into Ice Guy's face, too. It cracked against his nose, and he recoiled with a shout. As I swung the umbrella for strike number three, someone caught it and wrenched it out of my hands. I turned in time to catch a fist to the face. My head snapped back, my skull splitting open along my eye socket, or that's what it felt like. As I went down, my near-forgotten Taekwondo training kicked in, and I caught myself without scraping my elbows open to the bone. Rolling over, I shot to my feet. A couple yards away, a guy went flying in a spiral of flame as Aaron launched upright. I was diving for cover when the same asshole who'd punched me grabbed my hair and yanked me back. Balling my hand into a fist, I jammed it into his stomach. He doubled over with a wheeze, and I rammed my knee between his legs. As he toppled, something small fluttered from his hand. I snatched it off the ground. A Queen of Spades playing card, worn and yellowed like it was 50 years old. My attacker straightened with a hiss, his teeth bared.
"Give that back."
I flipped the card so the Queen was facing him. Why would I do that? As fire exploded on my right and someone screamed, the guy stuck his hand in his pocket and yanked out a new magic toy. Another playing card.
"Impelo,"
he yelled.
"Oripicutio,"
I shouted. A ripple of air and an invisible force slammed into my chest like a battering ram. I flew backward and hit the ground hard. This time I couldn't save my elbows, but I stopped my head from smacking the pavement.
"It's Oripicutio, idiot girl,"
he snarled, advancing on me.
"What kind of sorcerer are you?"
Who said I was a sorcerer? Nice of him to correct my pronunciation, though. He swapped to the second card in his hand, an ace of hearts with a twisty rune in the center.
"Ori impelo patisme."
I thrust the Queen of Spades at him.
"Ori repercudio."
The air rippled and a massive force struck the man. He was hurled almost straight up, crashed into a wall, then tumbled to the ground in a heap. I glanced in awe at the Queen of Spades. Wow. Grabbing my umbrella from a puddle, the magic card in my hand, I scrambled up. Two other men were down, but Ice Guy and the last pair had Aaron surrounded. Flames blazed over his limbs and sparks swirled around him. The ground was on fire and steam billowed, tinted orange by the inferno. Ice Guy faced him from within a cloud of white, frost clinging to his clothes and lining his dagger. Where the fiery aura around Aaron met the dense cold around Ice Guy, the air sizzled and steamed. Aaron punched his hand out, his weapon gone but his flames undiminished. A fireball exploded from his fist and flew at Ice Guy. The other two men attacked Aaron from behind, with small items like my new playing card shouting incantations. As Aaron whirled on them, I ran toward the battle, my sandals splashing through ice-cold puddles. I jumped behind Aaron and pointed my card at Ice Guy.
"Ori repercutio!"
Nothing happened. Ice Guy slashed his dagger at me. I whipped my umbrella up and the blade hit it, snapping the metal rod. As the umbrella folded in half, the dagger caught in the layers of nylon fabric and I wrenched it sideways.
The dagger tore out of Ice Guy's grip, and I flung both items away. Unfortunately for me, Ice Guy didn't miss a beat. He grabbed me by the throat, fingers squeezing. Agonizing cold flashed over my skin. Heat washed across my back, then Ice Guy threw me aside as Aaron charged in, fire rippling over his arms. He tackled Ice Guy and they went down in a cloud of hissing steam. I clambered up, my throat throbbing. Ice Guy broke free and scrambled backward, and my neck immediately felt better when I saw the blistering burns on his arms and face. Ha, take that. Aaron rolled to his feet, still on fire like it was no big deal, and I sidestepped closer, the heat blasting me like I was standing next to a bonfire. I clutched my unpredictable Queen of Spades card, afraid to rely on it but with no other weapons. The man beside Ice Guy stuck his hand into the back of his coat, but the weapon he withdrew wasn't a dagger or a spell, or even a playing card. He swung the black pistol up, and before I could move, he pulled the trigger. Chapter 10. The shot didn't ring out, blasting our eardrums into dust. Instead, it popped like a toy gun, and something bright flashed toward us. Aaron jerked away, hideous yellow liquid splattered across his bare arm and sizzling from the heat of his skin. Not a pistol with bullets, a paintball gun. But that yellow liquid wasn't paint. He swayed. Lurching for balance, he grabbed my arm. His hand burned and I gasped as his legs gave out. He dragged me down, hitting the pavement on his knees, and both his arms clamped around me. The air heated, crackled, burned. Fire exploded out from Aaron, turning the alleyway into a wall of flame. Only the tight circle within his arms was spared the fire, but the heat. I couldn't breathe. My head spun, my skin screaming, my clothes scorching. The flames died, revealing the blackened alley. Ice Guy was gone, as were his companions. The downed attackers were far enough away that the lethal inferno had missed them. I glanced at my hands, relieved they weren't blistering. Just pink, like I'd turned the shower too hot. Aaron's skin cooled and his arms loosened. Then he tipped over, catching himself on one elbow. Shit, he rasped. I gripped his arm. Are you okay?
Poison. No idea what it does.
His arms trembled as he pushed himself up.
We have to get out of here.
What? I broke off as in the distance police sirens echoed through the streets. Oh, crap. I did not want to get caught in an alleyway with several weapons, three unconscious men, a poisoned pyromage, and a lot of fire damage. Okay, I gasped, struggling to think straight. Let's go. Come on, Aaron. Shoving the Queen of Spades into my back pocket, I heaved on his arm. With effort, he staggered upright and sagged against me, almost toppling us both. I clutched him, my legs quivering as I supported his weight. My apartment is across the street. I panted, dragging him past the dumpster. Crap, my purse. I helped him lean against the dumpster, grabbed my purse, then pulled his arm over my shoulders again. We hobbled out of the alley and across the street. Kicking the building's main door open, I dug one-handed in my purse for my key fob. I slapped it against the panel to unlock the security doors, then wrangled them open and limped into the lobby. A middle-aged woman, waiting at the elevator with a wheeled suitcase, watched us approach with eyes that grew wider and wider the closer we got. I forced a smile, trying not to crumple under Aaron's weight. He had too much to drink. Her bug-eyed stare shifted from him to me.
Good God, girl. What did he do to your face?
Oh, damn. So I wasn't imagining that my eye felt hot and puffy. Wasn't him. Her look screamed skepticism, but then the elevator dinged and the doors slid open. I heaved Aaron inside and he slumped against the wall, groaning. His eyes were squeezed shut, his face white and shining with perspiration. If he'd been drunk and not poisoned, I would have been searching for a bucket for him to puke in. The woman must have thought the same thing because she backed up.
I'll take the next one.
Relieved, I jammed the button for the 9th floor 3 times. The door slid shut and the elevator glided upward. Hang on, Aaron. I whispered, rubbing his shoulder. Flakes of his crisped shirt fluttered to the floor. Almost there. He didn't answer.
his concentration consumed by the battle to stay upright. The elevator dinged open to reveal a quiet, carpeted hall. I pulled him past the rows of doors to Justin's apartment, fumbling with my keys. Unlocking the door, I dragged Aaron inside. He was staggering badly, his weight too much for me. We stumbled down the short hall into the living room, and I pushed him toward the sofa. He fell, landing half on the cushions, yellow potion smearing over the blue fabric. I rushed back to shut and bolt the door, then quickly checked myself for any poison. None of it had gotten on me, so that was one problem I didn't have to worry about. Returning to Aaron, I fought back a wave of panic. His clothes were charred, his elbows scraped, and the knee of his jeans torn out from a fall. A long slice down his forearm leaked blood, and scary white patches on his skin warned of frostbite from Ice Guy's power. His cheek was scraped to hell from that dickwad stepping on him and pushing his face into the gravelly pavement. Aaron? His face was slack. He'd lost consciousness. Panicked buzzing filled my head. Aaron had been poisoned by who knew what sort of nasty magic potion. He was unconscious, possibly dying. What was I supposed to do? Hyperventilating, I dug out my phone and called Clara. It went straight to voicemail, but I called again. And again. Giving up on Clara, I stared at my phone, my finger trembling over the 9. Did I call 911? Could human emergency services save him? What should I do? I squeezed my eyes shut, commanding myself to focus, then threw my phone aside. Kneeling beside the sofa, I patted down Aaron's front pockets, then wiggled my hand under his ass to check the back ones. My searching fingers found the hard rectangle of his phone. I pulled it out and swiped the screen. Locked. Grabbing his poison-free hand, I pushed his limp forefinger against the fingerprint reader. The screen flashed awake. Thank goodness for hackable technology. I opened his contacts and speed-scrolled past a zillion names to the ease. But Ezra's name wasn't there. Swearing, I zoomed down to Kai's number and called it. The phone rang, 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 then clicked a voicemail. No! I yelled at the phone. Why won't you answer? On a date. Aaron had said Kai was out on a date tonight, but Ezra had stayed home. I checked his contacts again, but Ezra's name wasn't there. With trembling hands, I opened his most recent apps, found his messenger, and pulled it up. A conversation with Kai and... Cyclops? I hissed. You put him in your contacts under Cyclops? I dialed Ezra's number and held the phone to my ear. It rang, rang, rang.
Hello?
Ezra's groggy voice was the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. I opened my mouth, but only a whimper came out.
Aaron?
Ezra asked, alertness sharpening his tone.
Ezra!
I burst out, my quavering voice on the edge of tears.
Aaron needs help.
Tori?
His drowsiness vanished.
What?
We were attacked walking home, I blurted. There was a guy with ice magic and sorcerers. I think they were sorcerers, and one of them shot Aaron with this yellow stuff, and Aaron said it was poison, but now he's unconscious and I don't...
Tori, calm down.
Ezra's level voice, meltingly smooth, soothed my panic.
Take a deep breath.
I sucked in air.
Is Aaron breathing?
Yes.
Is he bleeding?
A little.
Where are you?
At my apartment.
I rattled off the address.
I'm coming to you. I'll be there in 10 minutes, okay? Call Kai and tell him to find an alchemist and meet us at your place.
I already called him. No answer.
Keep calling. He'll pick up. I'll be there soon.
Okay,
I whispered. As soon as the call disconnected, my panic started to climb again. Inhaling deeply, I crouched beside Aaron to watch his chest, making sure he continued to breathe, and called Kai. The phone rang until it went to voicemail. I called again. It rang twice, then the line clicked.
Yes?
No drowsiness from Kai, just an irritated snap.
Kai, this is Tori.
Tori?
His sharp tone transformed into concern.
Why do you have Aaron's phone?
He was attacked walking me home, I said. Ezra's on his way here, and he said you need to bring an alchemist.
Where are you?
I gave him my address.
Hurry, Please.
I'm leaving right now. Are you safe there?
As I confirmed our relative safety, his phone picked up the sound of a door slamming and footsteps thudding on a hard floor.
Tori, if Ezra arrives before me, have him wait outside until I get there.
What? Why?
He doesn't handle it well when his friends get hurt.
Another door banged open.
Trust me on this. I'll be there as soon as I can, just hang tight.
He ended the call and I lowered the phone. Don't let Ezra inside the apartment? Ezra? Mr. Calm and Collected? I set Aaron's phone on the end table and shifted closer to him. His breathing was even but slow, his face still slack. I twisted my hands together, wishing there was something I could do besides wait. After a minute, I wobbled into the bathroom to pull the first aid kit from under the sink. Back at Aaron's side, I opened an alcohol swab and gently cleaned the slice on his arm, but blood was leaking out as fast as I was wiping it away. Whimpering, I grabbed a fat roll of gauze and wound half of it around his arm. Red soaked through it almost instantly, and I whimpered again, sternly telling myself that he wouldn't bleed to death from the shallow cut. Under normal circumstances, I'm pretty damn level-headed. I like to think so anyway, but this had shaken me bad. Not only the ambush, but the violence of it. The fire, the ice, the magic. Guns and bullets might have been deadlier, but at least they were familiar. Aaron's phone erupted into a video game tune, scaring me out of my skin. I leaped to grab it and swiped the screen to answer. Hello?
I'm here,
Ezra said.
Can you let me in?
I hesitated. Kai had been clear, but Ezra sounded as unruffled as always. Not only would I feel stupid leaving him down in the lobby, but I didn't want to be alone. Dial 1187 on the number pad, and I'll buzz you through. My unit is 909. I disconnected, and a second later, my phone rang. I pressed 9 to unlock the lobby security entrance, then unbolted the apartment door. Kneeling beside Aaron, I waited, my stomach twisting. Ezra was on his way up, and I really hoped Kai was just paranoid. Chapter 11. With a quick rap on the door, Ezra pulled it open. His dark brown curls were tousled from sleep, his black t-shirt wrinkled, like he'd put on the first clothing article he'd spotted. I got up from the floor, but he didn't pause as he strode straight to Aaron. I wasn't sure he even saw me. He crouched beside the sofa, his back to me as he surveyed his friend. My nerves prickled, my heart rate increasing. Goose flesh rose on my arms and legs and I shivered. Was it just me or was it cold in here? I exhaled and the air puffed white. Holy shit. It was freezing. My gaze snapped at the doorway searching for Ice Guy, but there was no one in sight. It was just me, Aaron, and Ezra. My breath turned to white mist as the temperature kept dropping. Ezra? I whispered. His head twitched in my direction, and the lamp on the end table brightened, flooding the room with light. I frowned. When had it gone so dim? The inexplicable chill lessened and Ezra rose, facing me. For a moment, he looked normal, quietly unfazed, his brown eye warm and his colorless iris as unnerving as usual. Then his mismatched eyes widened in horror.
Tori,
he gasped, reaching for me.
What happened to you?
I blinked in confusion as his hands, hot compared to the chilly air in the apartment, gently took my wrist and lifted my arm. I blinked again when I saw the blood streaking my forearm, having run from the nasty road rash that had taken the skin off my elbow. Ow! I said in surprise. Ezra's hands tightened painfully around my wrist, then gentled again.
Have you looked in a mirror?
He asked with forced amusement.
Your eye will swell shut soon.
I gingerly pressed my fingers to my cheek. Damn, it throbbed. If my injuries were that spectacular, I wondered why he was only just noticing. But as he searched my face, I understood. I'd been standing on his left when he came in, and he was blind in that eye. He turned my arm over to check for more scrapes.
Are you hurt anywhere else?
Face, elbows. I glanced down, bemused to see my knees were mincemeat, too. Why didn't it hurt more? Adrenaline was a hell of a drug. Knees. I think that's it. Well, that and the bruises, and soreness that would set in soon.
I didn't realize they had attacked you, too.
He muttered.
If they were after Aaron, they had no reason to hurt you.
Well, maybe not. But they didn't like it when I started beating them with my umbrella.
When you... what? Didn't Aaron tell you to run?
Of course he did. I growled. But I followed him because there were six of them. And when the ice guy got Aaron on the ground, I couldn't just stand there and watch while they... I trailed off as Ezra's face went eerily blank. The temperature plummeted again, the air chilling like the dead of winter. The lamp dimmed until only a faint glow leaked from the bulb, shadows deepening throughout the room. My heart pounded and I wanted to pull my wrist from his hands, but I didn't dare move. Then the front door banged as Kai swept in.
Ezra?
His voice cut through the room like a whip.
Walk. Now.
Light bloomed as the lamp recovered. Ezra's expression didn't change as he released my arm, strode right past Kai and the woman who'd come in behind them, and vanished out the door. I inhaled unsteadily as warmth returned to the room, then peered at Kai's guest. My hackles rose. It was none other than Blue Hair, the girl who'd accidentally spilled green dye all over my bar. "What are you doing here?" I snarled. She pressed her lips together, clutching a wooden case with a carry handle.
"Sin is an alchemist."
Kai leaned down to check on Aaron.
"I picked her up on my way. She'll sort out this poison."
"Apprentice alchemist," Sin corrected, brushing past me to join Kai. "Let me see what we've got." As she knelt beside Aaron, Kai's dark eyes flashed over me from head to toe, and his all-business attitude faltered.
"Why are you covered in green? Is that an alchemic potion?"
I shot a glare at Sin. "That's my fault," she muttered, her shoulders hunching guiltily. "I spilled some dye earlier." Kai's eyes narrowed. Without comment, he pulled a stool out from the kitchen peninsula and guided me to it.
"Tell me what happened."
While explaining how Aaron had walked me home and the resultant stalkers, I watched Sin open her case. It unfolded into an intricate construction of small shelves and cubbies, all filled with vials, pouches, cloths, papers, and other tools. She swabbed Aaron's yellow-stained arm and dropped the cotton into a clean vial. "Then the ice guy and Aaron started fighting, and it was... ugly," I told Kai. "He had a big dagger thing. That would make him a mage, right? Since he was using a switch?"
"A cryomage, yes,"
Kai said tersely. "And the others had been sorcerers. Their incantations were a big giveaway."
"What happened next?"
he prompted. As best I could recall, I described the initial fight until Aaron went down. At that point, I had to pause and breathe, adrenaline whipping through me at the intensity of the memory, the terror I'd felt for Aaron.
"That cryomage must have been very powerful," Sin murmured as she poured a few drops of liquid into the vial with the yellowed cotton. "A pyromage like Aaron should have been able to take him out easily." Kai folded his arms.
"Depends on the circumstances. The cryomage had a proper switch, and Aaron had five others to defend against."
I nodded. Six against one was completely unfair. I wasn't much help, but I bashed the potion guy with my umbrella, and I gave the ice mage a good whack too, but...
Wait.
Kai spun to face me.
"You fought them?"
"What? Do you think I got this banged up from running away?"
"But you..." "Never mind. Please continue."
I finished the tale, but even though I glossed over my role, Sin stopped working to gawk at me. Kai's expression hardened, and I stuttered as I got to Aaron's explosive wall of fire. I helped him get up here, and he passed out. Then I called Ezra with his phone. Kai gave a slow nod, then rubbed both hands over his face like he was trying to wake up.
"Well?"
he asked Sin. She held up her vial. The yellow cotton had turned purple. "Looks like a basic sleeping tincture. A powerful one. The only reason he didn't immediately pass out was his fire evaporated most of it, and the smaller dose was slow to take effect."
"Do you have a counter?"
"I do, but it's safer to let it wear off naturally. I'll clean him up so his skin doesn't absorb any more." "So he's going to be okay?" I asked, an edge of anxiety in my voice. It's not a poison? Any potion with a harmful effect is considered a poison, Sin said. But yes, he'll be fine. He should wake up in a few hours. Do you have a spare towel so I can clean him up? I pointed her toward the linen closet. As she wet a cloth in the kitchen sink, Kai picked up the first aid kit from the floor.
Come on, Tori.
Huh?
To the bathroom. Your injuries need attention.
I'm fine. I can...
Now.
No arguing with that tone.
Scowling, I headed for the bathroom and sat on the edge of the tub. He crouched in front of me, pulled out a chemical ice pack and gave it a hard smack to trigger the cold reaction.
Put that over your eye.
He passed it to me, then ripped open an alcohol swab. I bit my lip as he scrubbed the dirt from my scraped knee with a lot more confidence than my attempted ministering of Aaron's injuries. Fresh blood ran down my leg. Ow! Kai bandaged it up, then cleaned my other knee and my elbows. Not fun. When I was all band-aided, he set the kit on the counter.
You probably saved Aaron's life. Thank you.
I hunched, embarrassed. I did what anyone would have done.
No, you did what one in a million people would do.
He offered his hand. I clasped it and he pulled me up. Back in the main room, Sin had finished cleaning the sleep potion off Aaron and was tending to his cut arm with supplies from her alchemy tickle trunk. Where's Ezra? I asked Kai in a low voice.
Out in the hall, most likely.
He pressed his lips together.
I warned you not to let him in.
The temperature was back to normal, but I couldn't forget the sudden bone-deep chill. Isn't he an air mage? How did he make the room so cold?
Most mages have one primary element, but also develop a secondary element. Air and water can be combined to produce ice.
Oh, I muttered. What about the light?
The light?
He made the room go dark. Kai glanced at the lamp.
That must have been because of the cold.
Kai, can you help me with this? Sin asked, gauze in her hand. As Kai knelt beside her, I crossed the apartment and slipped out the open door. In the hallway, Ezra leaned against the wall, hands in his pockets and head tilted back. Since I was on his blind side again, I opened my mouth to alert him to my presence, but he looked up first. As usual, he seemed downright tranquil, and the temperature was perfectly normal. Hey, I said, keeping my voice low so it didn't carry into the neighbor's units. His gaze swept over me, and despite the colorless iris, his blind eye appeared deceptively functional.
How are you?
The adrenaline is wearing off. Everything hurts.
You should take painkillers, now, before it gets bad.
Yeah. I slouched against the wall beside him and pressed the ice pack to my throbbing face. As half my vision disappeared, I felt a surge of sympathy for his impairment. Aaron will be fine. Sin is taking care of him.
Yeah, I heard you three talking.
He stared at the wall across from us.
Sorry, I didn't hold it together so well in there.
It's fine. I understand. I let my head thump gently against the wall. You may have noticed I don't control my temper all that well either. He murmured vaguely. Are you okay? He looked away from me and I took that as a no. The fact he seemed so calm, yet apparently wasn't, disturbed me more than if he'd been shouting curses or throwing punches. When I was in a temper, everyone knew it. But Ezra's silent, undetectable fury unnerved me. I knew the kind of helpless fury that could drive a person half out of their mind. I'd lived with it for years, and I wished I could help him rebalance. Only one thing had ever worked for me, but... Gulping down my hesitation, I stepped away from the wall and faced him. Would you like a hug? His gaze flashed to me.
A hug?
Already regretting the offer, I shrugged self-consciously. He hesitated, then lifted one arm in invitation. Surprised, I stepped over to him and put my arms around his shoulders. His hand settled lightly on my waist, almost like he wanted the option to push me away. I rested my head on his shoulder, my face turned away from his. My attention settled on the warm contact of another person, the rise and fall of his chest, the sound of his heart beating under my ear, his hands on my waist. The final jitters left my muscles and I relaxed. Hugs could work miracles, at least for me. When I was a ragey teenager hating all the adults in my life, Justin used to hug me until I calmed down, even if it took half an hour. As I closed my eyes, Ezra relaxed too, the tension sliding from his muscles. He slipped his arms around my waist, holding me more naturally, pulling me closer. Raising my head, I gave his shoulder a friendly pat and stepped back. "Better?" I asked in a chipper tone.
"Yeah."
He gave me a faint smile.
"Thanks."
I slapped the ice pack over my face again. "Let's go inside, shall we?" Marching to the door, I cursed my stupid brain, or stupid hormones, or whatever. I hadn't meant to end our calming hug so abruptly, but when he'd finally relaxed, I'd done the opposite. All of a sudden, I'd noticed I was pressed against a well-muscled chest, his broad shoulders under my hands, his warmth soaking into me. And dear God, he smelled mouth-watering. Did he bathe in ambrosia or something? Sweeping into the apartment, I found Kai sitting on the arm of the sofa beside an unconscious Aaron, while Sin repacked her alchemy supplies. Kai gave Ezra a searching look. "So," I announced, "can we talk about the elephant in the room?"
"Which elephant is that?"
Kai asked. "The why did six mythic goons attempt to kidnap Aaron one? I'd kinda like to know, seeing as I owe one of them a good punch to the face."
"It's not really a mystery,"
Kai replied tiredly.
"Since they were trying to take him alive, it was probably another ransom kidnapping."
"Another ransom kidnapping?" I repeated each word, boggled by the casual way he'd strung them together. "Among mythics, Aaron's family is famous," Sin said, latching her case. "They're extremely wealthy."
"And Aaron is the sole heir to that fortune,"
Kai finished.
"It isn't the first time greedy fools have targeted him, though it's the closest anyone has come to succeeding."
I looked from him to Sin to Ezra. "So what? This happens all the time?"
"More so when he was living at home."
Kai glanced at Ezra.
"I can only recall one attempt besides this one since we moved here." "I don't recall any attempts. Must have been before I joined the guild. Either way, the Sinclair family will deal with it. Frankly, I'm surprised anyone would risk getting on their bad side,"
Kai said.
"Aaron can sleep off the potion at home. Ezra, help me carry him."
I got out of the way as Kai and Ezra lifted Aaron between them and carried him out. Grabbing my keys, I hurried after them, and Sin followed. The wait for the elevator was fantastically strange. Two mages supporting the third, an alchemist with blue hair and a potion kit, and then me. Black eye, bandaged limbs, and green dye splattered all over my clothes. Outside the apartment tower, two vehicles waited. An older red sports car parked on the curb with its hazard lights flashing, and a sleek black motorcycle abandoned on the lawn. Two helmets hanging off the back. The guys loaded Aaron in the passenger seat of the car, then Ezra pulled out keys and offered them to Sin.
"Do you mind driving? Aaron will kill me if I smash up his baby."
She took the keys. "Didn't you drive over here?"
"Yeah, but it was an emergency."
He noticed my confusion and smiled sheepishly, tapping the scar that ran down his face.
"I don't have a license. No depth perception?"
"Oh." He tilted the driver's seat forward and climbed into the back. As Kai rolled the motorcycle onto the sidewalk, Sin cleared her throat. "Here." She pulled two vials from her pocket, one with a thick, pale substance and one half full of clear liquid. "Put the white cream on your injuries. It'll speed the healing process. And this one, mix a few drops with water and it'll wash the dye out of your hair and clothes. It'll clean the stain off your sofa, too." As I took the vials, my expression must have been more suspicious than grateful, because she winced. "I'm sorry. I misjudged you. Thank you for helping Aaron." I didn't know what to say, so I said nothing. She climbed into the red car and started the engine.
"Tori, will you be okay?"
Straddling his bike with a helmet under his arm, he held the second one out to me.
"You can come back to our place if you want."
The overwhelming urge to take the helmet and jump on the motorcycle with Kai swept through me. I didn't want to sit by myself in the apartment, listening at the door for signs of Ice Guy returning for revenge. Kai's aura of competence didn't allow stupid fears to exist in his vicinity. But every bone in my body hurt, and I really needed a hot bath, my favorite pillow, and a bottle of painkillers. Thanks, but I'm good. He nodded.
Call me if you need anything.
Sliding his helmet on, he started the bike and zoomed onto the road. The red car pulled away a moment later, following the bike's taillight. I watched the vehicle speed off, then peeked at the dark alley where Aaron and I had fought Ice Guy and his cronies. Fear zinged through me and I hastened back into the building. It was only when I walked into the apartment and noticed Aaron's forgotten phone on the end table that I realized I couldn't call Kai if I needed anything. I didn't have his number. And without Aaron, I couldn't unlock the phone. Chapter 12. An electronic tune blared, startling me from sleep. I tried to spring onto my feet but ended up spasming in place, groaning as every muscle in my body violently protested. Painfully rolling over, I grabbed my phone and squinted at the display, but it was blank. The ringing continued. Fumbling for the end table, I snatched Aaron's phone and swiped the call button to answer. Hello?
Morning, Sleeping Beauty.
Aaron's cheerful voice declared.
I see you have my phone.
You can't see anything, I mumbled, burrowing into my pillow. Why are you calling me so early?
I know I said morning, but it's actually 12:30.
I groaned and flipped onto my face, dislodging half my blankets off the sofa onto the floor.
Hello?
Tori isn't here right now. Please call back when she's had more sleep. He chuckled.
I'll keep it quick. I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I squinted my eyes open, blinded by the sunlight. Are you okay?
Yep.
A pause.
Entirely thanks to you.
It was no big deal. I yawned, almost cracking my jaw. You owe me a new umbrella, though.
Consider it done. Can I swing by later today to get my phone?
I nodded before remembering he couldn't see it. Sure, any time after 3.
You're gonna sleep that long?
No, but it would take a very long, very hot shower before I was anything close to mobile. I'll see you then.
Later, Tori.
I tossed his phone onto the table and pulled the blankets around myself. Everything hurt, and I wasn't even going to think about getting up for at least an hour. Perched on a stool at the kitchen counter a few hours later, I turned the Queen of Spades over, examining it from every angle. It looked like a regular, if ancient, playing card. The hand-painted queen wore a black dress with a cowl over her hair and held a spiky scepter that resembled a weapon more than a decoration. Her faint smile was enigmatic and commanding. I'd forgotten the card was in my pocket until I prepped my shorts to wash with Sin's anti-dye potion. It had worked like literal magic, lifting the stains from my hair and clothes with a quick scrub. I flipped the card over again, silently repeating the incantation. Ori repercutio. From what I could tell, the spell reflected magical attacks, but not reliably. Still, it was cool. Would its previous owner miss it? I grinned evilly at the card. Finders keepers. Sticking it in the pocket of my comfy yoga shorts, I arched my back, grimacing at the painful ache. Nothing like a few hard falls to make all your muscles hate you. My bandaged elbows and knees stung, but were easy to ignore. My black eye? Not so much. It wasn't completely swollen shut, but close. I'd reapplied Sin's healing cream this morning, but it did nothing to hide the spectacular purple bruise. Justin, dressed in thin sweats and a t-shirt, stepped out of the bathroom, releasing a wave of steam into the hallway. He'd arrived home from his shift an hour ago, and his next stop was bed, already delayed by an extended interrogation about the state of my face before he'd gone to shower.
How are you doing?
He asked.
Do you need anything?
I'm fine, Justin. It's just a bruise. I tried to roll my eyes, but it hurt too much. Seriously, I'm good. Get some sleep.
You should quit that job before you get hurt again.
I shouldn't have told him I'd been injured in a bar fight at work,
but it was the first lie that had popped into my mind. It was an accident. Could have happened anywhere.
You didn't come home with a black eye from any of your other jobs.
Grumbling, I started to rise when my phone rang. The caller ID flashed door, meaning Aaron was here to retrieve his cell. I hit 9 to unlock the security entrance. "I'm meeting someone," I said. "Why don't you go to bed?"
"Meeting who?"
"A new friend from work. I accidentally took his phone last night." I stood up and stretched more stiff muscles. "It'll just take a minute." I could feel Justin's eyes on me as I padded down the hall. A long minute passed, then someone knocked. With a warning glare at Justin, I opened the door. Aaron stood in the hallway, scratches marring his cheek and gauze taped over his arm, but otherwise as casually sexy as always in a maroon t-shirt and well-worn blue jeans. Then I spotted the oversized purple gift bag hanging from his hand, a hot pink umbrella hooked over the edge. "What is that?"
"That is the result of a bet,"
he said shamelessly.
"I'd better win this one, Tori, I mean it."
"What bet?" He peered over my head into the apartment.
"Am I allowed in?"
"My brother's home."
In that case..."
I sensed Justin approaching from behind.
"Don't be rude," Justin said,
all sorts of territorial undertones in the simple words.
"Invite him in."
"Ugh. Nah, he can just take his phone and..." Aaron stepped forward, forcing me to back up. The three of us jammed into the crammed entryway. Aaron pulled the door shut, then offered his hand to Justin.
"Aaron Sinclair." "Justin Dawson."
They shook hands, and I swore their knuckles turned white. I really wished I could roll my eyes without hurting myself. "Okay, okay, quit it." I grabbed Justin's shoulder and steered him down the hall ahead of me. "I guess you can come in, Aaron."
"I'm already in."
He followed me into the main room, and as I plopped onto my stool, he leaned against the counter.
"Nice place, man."
"Thanks,"
Justin said, slouching against the wall.
"What happened to your face and your arm?"
"I told you there was a bar fight." I jumped in. "Aaron's a regular. He broke it up."
"It was no biggie,"
Aaron said modestly.
"Just a few scrapes."
"How did Tori get a black eye?"
Shit. Justin was cross-examining the witness to see if I was fibbing. "Justin, we're not suspects in a crime. Could you please lay off?" He didn't look away from Aaron.
"I don't like it when my little sister gets hurt."
"Oh, screw this." I headed for the door.
"Tori,"
Justin called.
"Where are you going?"
"Somewhere else. See you later."
"Wait."
He pushed away from the wall.
"I'm going to bed. You don't have to leave."
I paused, waiting skeptically. With a stern glance at Aaron, Justin went into his room and closed the door. Reluctantly returning to my stool, I hissed, "You couldn't have just stayed in the hall, could you?" Aaron grinned, unrepentant.
"Then I wouldn't have found out if I won the bet."
"What bet?" I demanded.
"Do you like your new umbrella?"
He unhooked the pink monstrosity and handed it to me.
"I can't wait to see you hit someone with it."
I set it aside and gave him a hard stare. "The bet?"
"Sin started it."
Laying the gift bag on the counter, he gestured grandly.
"She said I should give you a thank you gift for saving my ass."
"I don't need a gift."
"But me, Kai, and Ezra disagreed on what to give you."
He nudged the bag toward me.
"Open it and take a look."
I almost told him to shove it. I hadn't expected thanks for helping him last night, let alone gifts. Like I was some kind of high-maintenance princess girl. But my curiosity was too strong. Grudgingly, I opened the bag and pulled out the first item. A huge bouquet of pink lilies and orange roses. The second gift was a box of chocolate and a bottle of wine, tied together with a red ribbon. I dug my hand into the bag and withdrew the last item. A fluffy white blanket with a pattern of colorful owls.
"So?"
Aaron prompted.
"Which one do you like most?"
"That's the bet? Which gift I'll like?"
"Yep."
"Did it occur to any of you that I might find this offensive?" He dropped onto the stool beside me, unexpectedly somber.
"I know we didn't need to get you anything, but you've got to be hurting today. We can't fix that, but we wanted to give you something that would bring you some comfort."
Biting my lip, I looked again at the gifts.
Explained like that, my annoyance melted away. The flowers are from Kai. Aaron blinked.
How'd you know?
Kai was reputedly a playboy. Made sense he'd go for the traditional woman-charming gift. You picked the wine and chocolate. Aaron squinted at the items like they might have name tags.
Yeah?
I touched the silky fluff of the blanket, tied into a bundle with a blue string. That meant the blanket was from Ezra. Had he made the logical leap from hugs to cuddly things, or was it a coincidence? Lost in thought, I picked up the flowers and circled the peninsula to the sink.
Flowers? That's your favorite?
No. As far as I knew, Justin didn't own a vase, so I grabbed a tall beer glass and filled it with water. I like all three.
No, you have to pick one.
Nope, I like them all. When he groaned, I arched an eyebrow. Sore loser, huh?
I don't believe it,
Aaron muttered.
I owe Kai $50.
I paused in the middle of arranging the flowers.
Huh? He bet you wouldn't pick one.
Finished with the flowers, I absently opened the chocolates. Popping one into my mouth, I glanced at Justin's door, then shifted closer to Aaron. I forgot to ask. I began in a whisper. What happened to the guys in the alley? When we took off, the police were coming this way. Even out of sight in an alley, we'd caused more than enough commotion to draw attention from the surrounding condo buildings.
Unless they dragged their sorry asses out of there in time, they were either questioned by the cops and released immediately, or they were arrested and released later.
How do you know they were released? Aaron helped himself to a chocolate.
Our existence isn't public knowledge, but it isn't a complete secret either. Certain people at various levels of government and law enforcement know about Mythics and keep in contact with Magipol. Police are trained not to arrest anyone with the MPD logo on their IDs. Instead, they take down our info and submit it to Magipol, and they go after the culprit.
Seriously? Do the cops have any idea why they aren't allowed to arrest certain people?
No idea how it's explained to them, but they don't normally know about Mythics. It's safer that way.
Aaron selected another chocolate.
Think about it. If human cops tried to arrest a rogue mage, the mage could seriously hurt them, or worse. Better if they stay out of it. Even if we get arrested, gilded Mythics know better than to cause a fuss. Magipol will step in and we'll be released within a few days.
Huh.
That doesn't mean those guys who attacked us get off scot-free. I already reported them to Magipol. Normally, I'd have you file a report too, but then we'd have to explain why you were with me, and that might bring up awkward questions about why you're working at my guild.
Yeah, let's not do that. I picked out a second chocolate. I'm glad you're okay.
Me too.
His hand closed around mine, the caramel-filled goodie between my fingertips.
Thanks for coming back for me, Tori.
Our eyes met, his blue stare so intense that my heart skittered wildly behind my ribs. Then he drew my hand up to his mouth and stole the chocolate from my fingers, his lips brushing my skin. Hey!
Mmm,
he said around the stolen mouthful of delicious caramel I'd been about to eat.
Good choice.
That was mine! I yanked the box away from him. They're all mine. Last time I share with you. He grinned and stood up.
I'd better go before I eat the whole box.
You wouldn't dare. I followed him to the door, and as he stepped into the hall, I handed him his phone. Don't forget it again.
It would give me an excuse to come back.
And risk another staring contest with my brother?
Nuh-uh. I'll see at work on Tuesday.
Oh, but first, I pulled my phone from my pocket. Can I get your number? And Kai's and Ezra's too? His initial smile faded at the mention of his friends.
A gorgeous girl asking for my number is less exciting when she asks for three numbers at once.
I snorted. I need emergency contacts.
I know.
He took my phone and entered the three numbers.
There you go. One of us is always available, even if you have to call a few times.
You didn't put Ezra under Cyclops, did you? He laughed.
No, I just did that on my phone to annoy him.
I hesitated, then plunged in. Does Ezra normally get a bit strange in those sorts of situations?
He's protective of his friends,
Aaron said with an airy shrug.
Who isn't? Take it easy until Tuesday, okay? and if you don't feel up to your shift, let Clara know.
I'll be fine. Once he was safely in the elevator, I returned to my apartment and surveyed the assortment of gifts. Humming thoughtfully, I carried the beer glass vase to the end table, then unbundled the lightweight blanket and curled up on the sofa with it, the box of chocolates on my lap. Snuggling into the blanket, I popped another chocolate in my mouth, feeling spoiled as hell. I'd never admit it to Aaron, but I did have a favorite gift, and I didn't plan to tell a soul which one I preferred. Chapter 13. Beyond the unnecessary gifts the guys had lavished on me, my Saturday night adventure produced an added bonus. When I arrived at the Crow and Hammer on Tuesday for my shift, my entrance was met with cheers. Before I knew what was happening, a dozen semi-familiar faces surrounded me, offering congratulations on kicking mythic ass and asking how I was doing. My black eye had faded to yellow-green, but it was still too hideous to hide. I eventually made it into the kitchen, blinking stupidly. Ramsay looked up from the counter where he was slicing tomatoes.
"How you doing?"
he asked.
"Heard about your escapade over the weekend."
"How does everyone know already?" I grumbled, stashing my purse and new hot pink umbrella in the office. "You guys gossip like seniors at a bingo hall." Ramsay flicked his dark hair out of his eyes.
"News travels fast. Sin told the other alchemists, who told the sorcerers, who told everyone else."
"Sin?" I repeated warily. "What exactly did she say?"
"The story I heard is that Aaron was ambushed and outmanned when you saved his butt with nothing more than an umbrella and a stolen artifact."
Faint skepticism crossed his features.
"Did you really attack six mythics on your own?"
I twisted my mouth, embarrassed by all the attention. I suppose, but what else was I supposed to do? Let them drag him off?
"You're one tough cookie, Tori."
His expression grew oddly intense.
"What artifact did you steal?"
"Huh? Oh, you mean the card." I finished tying my apron, then pulled the Queen of Spades out of my pocket. I snatched it from a sorcerer. He used it to shoot Aaron's fire back at him. Abandoning the tomatoes and stripping off his latex gloves, Ramsay took the card and examined it.
"A reflector spell?"
He whistled.
"That's rare stuff. What's the incantation?"
Ori repercutio.
"Wow. Crazy."
His eyes brightened.
"I specialize in this kind of arcana. Weapons to counter other magic. And this thing is throwing off arcane vibes like you wouldn't believe. It's no minor trinket."
Frowning, I slid the card from his hands. "Throwing off arcane vibes. It feels like a regular card to me."
"It's safe to say you have no latent arcane talent, then. But anyone can use an artifact like this. You don't need magical ability."
"It's not very reliable. It only worked once when I tried it."
"Different spells work in different ways."
Leaning against the counter, he gestured at my card.
"Arcana harnesses the energies of the natural world and gives them shape and purpose.
Building spells can take hours, weeks, months, or even years, depending on the complexity of the result."
"Huh. How long had the Queen of Spades spell taken to make? That doesn't sound practical."
"It isn't. Which is why combat sorcerers rely on specific tools, the most common being hexes and artifacts. A hex is a cantrip that... Sorry, let me back up. A cantrip is a single rune spell that can be cast with a brief incantation. Here, I'll show you."
He stepped into the office, grabbed a sticky note and a pen, and drew a strange symbol on the paper. Returning to the kitchen, he held the sticky note over the sink.
"Ignaris."
The paper burst into fire, the hungry flames way bigger than the little paper should have produced. Ramsay snatched his hand away as the burning note fell into the sink.
"So, that's a cantrip. A hex is a pre-prepared one that can be reused instead of drawn at each time. If it isn't drawn perfectly, it won't work, so it's not something you want to do on the fly."
He pulled a small object from his pocket and held it out, an oversized coin with a symbol etched in the center.
"This is guaranteed to work every time. Hexes are the fastest magic a sorcerer can produce, but they lack power."
That fire spell had seemed powerful to me, but maybe that was because my standard for magical power was zilch.
An artifact is an enchanted object that contains a complex spell. Days or weeks of work go